Get one unbelievable finance rate across a range of vehicles at West Point Nissan. Only for a limited time. 440 Moggill Road, Indooroopilly. Or westpointnissan.com.au.
Welcome to the catch-up. A bit on today. Geez, Wade Seckham fans, hold on to your hats. Plenty for you today.
Look at you chuckling away. No, I missed that whole thing.
You left the studio. Ed suggested, because it's day night, Sheffield Shield. What a moment in Australian cricket.
Wonderful.
Ed wanted him to play The Bachelor on the big screen at the Gabba. Yeah.
So you could watch the cricket.
That's the sort of thing that makes me laugh. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
It was a lot of fun. Also today we spoke about deadbeat parents, Robin. Not just deadbeat dads, deadbeat parents.
Yeah, I don't think it's about the gender. It's just about nasty human beings.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Very, very, very true. And Marto, stop looking at the Kilcoy Rodeo. We'll try and get hold of that tomorrow.
I'm trying
to
get hold of him now, mate. Who knows what they got going on out there? Riding animals, I guess.
Yeah, I would say, and then roping them. Have a nice catch up. We'll see you soon. Deadbeat dads.
Well, deadbeat dads. I know that's a term, and it sounds really good in a headline and everything else, but gee, there's two sides of the story, because we're talking about deadbeat dads, and they're the ones who don't pay their child support.
Yep.
But I tell you what, on Current Affair, they ran this story and they took the other angle, and they said, hold on, there's a lot of dads having money taken from them, but listen to this bloke.
I still had to pay child support even though my ex-spouse and my son were dead.
What do you mean my ex-spouse and my son, and he had to pay money?
The government agency, whatever they call themselves, haven't dropped them off the system, and he's still having money garnished out of his wife. I know. Well, what about this bloke?
I'm paying my ex 100, like, as if she has my son in full care, when it's actually me that has him in full care.
All right, so his wife's moved on and living with someone else. Mm-hmm. He's got the kid and he's still paying her child support.
Well, again, that is ridiculous.
I know. And this is what the general consensus was. This is one side. I know there's two sides of the argument.
No, you got your side, I've got the other.
But these poor blokes the other night were going, oh, why? Why am I paying?
I think it's a big joke that they call themselves child support. All they are is a glorified government collection agency.
I know they're angry blokes, but a lot of them are getting ripped off. Those two examples are
completely ripped off. That's absolutely fair enough from them. Yes,
but
Robin?
Then there's the other side. So a wealthy mining magnate was stopped from boarding a first-class flight overseas over a six-month child support debt, and the government are now trying to go after 1,800 deadbeat dads banned from flying until they pay up to a total of $9.9 million. So this guy was trying to get on an Emirates flight out of Sydney. He got stopped by border control. He was said, unless you give us $22,000 for 6 months child support, you're not allowed to fly. Miraculously,
he came up
with the cash.
Straight away.
Yeah, and so now they're saying they're going to stop, and I guess it's for more wealthy people who are going to be travelling, or maybe not.
So you're saying have they got a policy now to target the wealthy people who aren't playing? Because the people who haven't got any money, you can't get blood out of a stone.
Well, they're not going to be going through border security where they can check that they're actually owing money on child support.
I made a cast, all right? I'll give you this as a perfect example. For 18 years, the father of her, and they weren't together for very long, the father of her son, who had a slight disability, refused to pay child support. No, 18 months ago, he went to go overseas with his new girlfriend to Bali for 2 weeks holiday. They stopped him and said, it's all in the file. When you put your passport in, everything's in there. You owe $60,000. The girlfriend went on holidays. He had to wait in Sydney and rounded up that money and paid it to her. She'd brought her son up for 18 years. He was going on 19. She finally got $60,000.
Okay, I get exacerbated at this point because I do not understand why people don't want to pay for their own children. I don't get it.
I'll tell you why. Because they're not sleeping with that woman and getting any joy anymore. And they're going, well, bugger you. You look after the kid yourself.
Why? It's their child.
Well, can we run it by everyone else? I don't know the answers. You don't. Give us some direct examples of both sides of the argument here. Getting ripped off, or do you know a deadbeat dad?
What we've got is a lot of people calling through. Guy's from Borellan Point. Guy, what is your child support story, mate?
A few years back, my eldest son ran away from home, his mother's place, come to me. She had my youngest child, I had the oldest child. My child support went from $140 a week to $240 a week.
Why?
For every deadbeat father out there, there's five deadbeat mothers using the system to abuse the children. And we never hear about the deadbeat mums, we only hear about the deadbeat dads. But it's
well, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. And so a child came back to you and your child support went up. That's what you're saying.
I don't get that.
There you go. So
he was on a pension and I was out interstate truck driving and I was making a lot of money and they just wanted to make a system because he ran away. And they're not supposed to run away from hostile parents. They're supposed to stay there and deal with it. So child support just made an example of me again.
Right. Is it still going, Guy?
They're over age, but she destroyed any relationship I'd ever have with my children. All I'm supposed to do is say yes, and if I try and be a parent and say no to them, they don't talk to me. I've got two granddaughters. I haven't seen either one of them. And I have two sons that I have nothing to do with. They played me for 20-odd years. I got to a point where I just said, I don't want to know yous. I've had enough. I can't deal with you anymore.
Whoa.
Thank you, Guy.
There's a person that paid his child support and got nothing for it.
Nicole of Strathpine, what's your story?
Well, my story is my son's father's been in and out of jail since my son was born. My son's only 3.5. I put in a child support claim about 12 months ago. It took them probably the better part of 9 months to sort of get anything going. I now am meant to receive the minimum weekly amount, which is $8.05. To put it into perspective, my son's in full-time childcare. That cost me $98 a day before the benefits kick in.
Yeah.
So the weekly amount I get doesn't even cover, you know, a ninth of that. Mm. I'm still not getting it. I rang child support last week, actually, because I got a letter from them. I know for a fact my son's father is actually out of jail and working full-time in a trade, earning probably about $80,000 a year.
Can they get him?
Well, I said to them, why aren't we adjusting the payments that I'm getting? And they said, well, we base it on your last tax return. Because I've always been a stand-up person, worked full-time, done, you know, whatever I need to do to support my child, I earn a decent salary. So my last year's tax return was fairly decent. His was only 20-odd grand. So they based it on the last tax return. So I said, okay, well, next tax year when they put in their next one, I said, well, I get it back paid. And they said, no, legislation, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, not government, not taxpayers funded payments that we're getting. The child support is from the other parent, whether that's the mother or the father. Why is it not back paid? He helped create the child, but I get nothing for it. And child support just stand behind the legislation.
Nicole, do you keep hearing these stories from other people that a lot of times the dads will get cash jobs or don't want to have any declarable income so they don't have to pay the mum?
Oh, absolutely. But as the last caller said, it happens both ways. There's a lot of deadbeat mums that they just... I've often thought this, bugger it, I'm just going to quit my job, go and live with my parents and not work and get as much money from the government. But not all of us are like that. I had 6 months mat leave. I went back to work. I work my ass off to support my son so he can have all the advantages in life.
I like you.
Good on Nicole. You're a solid citizen. Thank you, Nicole. Roy is from Victoria Point. Now, Roy, here we go. You used to work for the Child Support Agency. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And you wanted to tell us something. What is that?
Yeah, there's two sides to every story. Yeah. I worked in a specialist area, and 70-75% of the debts that we worked to recover were largely owed by women. Now, we're not talking small debts. We're talking $30,000-$40,000.
So do you mean women who aren't paying for their side of the child support?
Yes.
Yeah, it should just be deadbeat parents. I don't think it's a dad thing.
Yes, not deadbeat dads.
Anyway, keep going, Roy.
And a lot of these parents, it comes down to, and this is where the child support agency is flawed, and I actually left because of my own morals. A lot of these parents use it as a financial tool or a bargaining tool in regards to custody.
Financial to buy emotion.
Wow. Okay. That's what they do. All right.
I'm not going to let him or her have access if they're not going to pay child support. And then the other side of the story is, well, I'm not going to pay child support if you're not going to let me have access.
No one gets anywhere.
Yeah, what Thank about you. The kids?
Roy, that must have been so depressing, eh?
Absolutely. Yep.
Doing it for West Point, this and Indra Pilli, Marto. Time to talk some cricket now, so much so that Robin's actually left the studio to go and do the Today Show.
What a perfect opportunity for us just to chat to one of our favourite people.
Oh, you know it. Well, just 115 first-class games for Queensland.
Incredible.
And he's now the coach of the Queensland Bulls. Good morning, Wade Seckham.
Good morning, Ed. Good morning, Marto. How are you going?
It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
it's a pleasure.
Robin's not here. She's just stepped out. She doesn't want to talk cricket.
How much time we got?
Yeah, an hour and a half. Let's do it.
Let's
do
go
it.
Right through until 9, if you don't mind.
Hey, Wade, first things first, do you mind if we talk some national cricket? There's the Ashes coming up very shortly. And Ian Bell, the English batsman, says that we've only got four good players. Warner, and I can't remember the others. What do you say to that?
Well, geez, I want to see him, well, not as though he will be, but I reckon some of our quicks would fit into that category, and a few of our batters are a bit better than theirs. So it's that standard talk that comes out before the Ashes when you start sort of trying to talk each other up, and it's a bit of false sense of bravado almost, I reckon, but I think they'll get a bit of a touch-up in Australia this year.
Yeah,
can we just go through the batting order? Matt Renshaw, Warner, is Uzi, will he bat three for Australia?
Bat three.
Uzi Khawaja, Steve Smith, Peter Hanscom, who bats six?
You tell me.
You got to tell me, mate.
Tell us.
As a former wicketkeeper, just the 537 dismissals for you would have been 700 if you didn't drop them. I'm only kidding. Hey, No, you're a wonderful keeper. Hey, Wade, who would you have in keeping wicket for Australia?
Keeping wicket, I'd go to Peter Neville.
You go back to Pete.
I've always been a fan of his, and I don't think he deserved to get dropped. In my mind, he got dropped because the batting order wasn't firing above him, and you know, obviously it was difficult for him. He did his job with the gloves, and that's what you do. You pick your keeper first, and then, naturally enough, today you've got to be able to score runs, and he was doing that. Peter Neville's my man.
Okay.
Hey, what's up? Now, you guys are playing Victoria. Is this a day-night game?
It's a day-night game, yeah. So we're using pink balls. So we've sort of spent the last couple of days trying to get used to, not used to, but looking at the pink balls under lights, which is good. Take the Vicks on.
Anyone colourblind in the Bulls?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. I haven't gone through that process.
Well, you'll soon find out.
You'll find out tonight.
Well, we did a training the other night. The batsmen were getting knocked over quite a lot of training. So, we might do a quick test today and drag a few more in.
I'd get the colour shot out because that can be feisty.
So what happens? I go to work all day and then I go, geez, I'd never go and watch the Shield because it's always over by 5 o'clock. If I stroll in there at 5:30 or 5:45?
It's on.
Is it free?
It's on. It's free. It'll be the last session of play. So you'll come. Last session will be from 6 to 8, which is almost perfect timing.
And if just I bring take my the wife, Bachelorette, is that what you'll be doing?
I was going to say, if I'm bringing my wife down, can you put the Bachelorette on the big screen so we're both happy?
It's not a bad chat, actually, is it? I have words.
Now, what sort of coach, you're the new Queensland coach, what sort of coach are you? Are you a ranter or a raver? Do you push people in the chest? What are you going to do?
No, I haven't adopted an old school or a rugby league or a Tommy Radonica style coaching in my... probably doesn't work in cricket over 4 days. It's sort of... we've got to be a little bit mellow and a little bit subdued, but I throw it back on the boys. It's their game. For them to develop and learn, they've got to come up with solutions themselves.
No, so I wouldn't even go. I wouldn't even turn up.
The beauty of it.
Just ring
I'm
it in.
Make myself redundant.
All right, wait a second. New go coach of the Bulls. Can't wait for the summer of cricket. The Sheffield Shield's on tonight if you want to wander down to the Gabba. And then the first test, of course, coming up. We'll see you soon, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One. There are some storms possibly on the way. We're going to catch up with the Weather Channel a little bit later on to find out if there's hail coming towards you. Tell you what, it's hailing. Nah, I got no segue there. Sophie Monk on The Bachelorette. Bachelorette last night, Robin.
Oh, I loved it. It's come down to the quintessential. She did have last night three blokes in front of her. The good-looking one, the emotionally connected one, and the rich one.
Yep.
And as predicted, the good-looking guy went home.
That was Apollo, the young
boy. Yeah, the 24-year-old. He was all spunk and not much substance when you're 24.
How would you go marrying a magician anyway?
Whose real name is actually Jake Spence. There you go.
And change it to Apollo.
Yeah. Well, I knew his name couldn't be Apollo.
Was that a stripper name?
Yeah, it sounds a bit like it.
All right.
He does look like a stripper.
Move on.
Okay.
So that just leaves, of course, Jared.
Norman Bates.
Yeah. Twitter is shifting on him. And certainly last night I was much more sympathetic. Yeah. He seems genuine. He's had the courage to put his heart out there. Yes, he has represented a psycho in the past. but it's him versus the rich guy.
Or Stu. Now, let's make sure we go down through Stu. There's four great pub-owning families in Australia, and his family is high up there. They're worth over $500 million. Or if you don't know, like one of their pubs is Watson's Bay Hotel. You travel
iconic.
From the Opera House.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's one of theirs. They've got a heap of hotels that are worth $30, $40 million in Sydney. He's worth plenty, and he's the last, they call it, publican playboy. All the other guys like that, Justin Hemmings, et cetera, they're all married now.
Well, he was married.
And that's the issue, as he told Sophie.
I made the ultimate decision to be here, and I've put everything into this. I decided I wasn't going to give up on my last shot with Sophie.
Yeah. See, that actually says to me that that's quite calculated. And there was a big ulterior motive there. But anyway.
But remember what we were talking about last week. Like, he's shooting blanks.
I am 4 years separated, you know that?
Yeah.
But still legally married. And I had a vasectomy.
Okay, what does that mean, legally married? Does that mean dad hasn't given permission to divorce?
Well, yeah, all right. Have a listen to one more before we discuss it. Listen to this, and I think you've nailed it. His dad will have to pay out too much money if he gets divorced, so the old wife's just on the payroll, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, listen to him when she goes, hey, when do you think you're going to get a divorce? Like, shouldn't you be divorced before you go on the show?
Well, do you think?
All right, listen to his trepidation when she asks.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
When do you think you'll be divorced?
Very soon, hopefully. It's not, you know, that there's any chance there. But it's not far away.
And you really want to get married again?
All right, that'll do. What does that sound like to you?
Joking? Like, oh, when will you be divorced? Yeah, end of this tax year, I believe, I'm allowed. Unbelievable.
Hold on, I've just got to ring the accountant. When can I get a voice? Oh, really?
Excuse me, hang on. Do not you think that the ex-wife is watching this television show rubbing her hands together?
Oh, yeah, she's the
money.
Real winner. She's the real winner.
She is the real winner.
Oh, you're right.
And good luck to her, I say. Yeah. Good luck to her.
Kids, would his kids be watching this?
Well, they're four girls,
go,
of
Dad,
course.
Go.
Of course they will.
You know what I was looking at there, Marto?
What?
Which you caught me on my little computer here. Odds for the Ashes.
Gotcha.
Oh. Yeah, because...
Well, what have we got? What have we got? I haven't looked at that.
I don't want to go through it because I've become one of those people. Well, we go now for the odds. Well, you'll never guess what, you know.
That is so unlike you.
I don't know. I just think that England might be a sneaky chance, as much as I don't like to say it.
That makes me laugh so much because... What I'm going to talk about right now is The Bachelorette. So, of course, you are looking at cricket.
No, that's okay. I'm excited about that.
Okay, so last night we came down to the final three. And for me, it was the quintessential chick's choice. You got the good-looking bloke Apollo. You got Jared, who's the emotionally connected guy slash psycho. And you've got Stu, the rich dude. And she has to pick between them. So, of course, last night she rejects Apollo, whose real name is Jake Spence.
What's with the Apollo stuff?
Well, he's a magician, so that's his stage
name.
We
briefly touched on this earlier and I wasn't allowed to say it. Is he really a magician or is he a stripper?
No, I think he's a magician, but I think he has stripped in the past.
You can be both.
Look what I've got
look
here.
Look at this. This is magic. Yeah, how did this Velcro come off?
I think Chris Gayle does a bit of that.
Yeah. Are you looking for this?
There was one moment last night.
Sorry.
There was one moment last night which I think completely, and for anyone watching you would have known, completely sealed poor Apollo's fate because he's there.
I thought he might be going to be the one.
Yeah, so did everyone else. And then they went on their own private little get-together.
Oh, they had the opera and stuff.
Yeah, they had the opera and then she, you know, went and had wine, which is how it always happened. And she was trying to get really deep and she was asking the intense questions about wanting to get married and have kids and this is what happened.
Yeah, I can really see a future with you. Like,
really?
Yeah, I'd sort of... You know, look at getting married and that sort of thing.
You really would be ready?
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Really?
Well, I can, yeah, in the next, like, 4 years, I reckon, four to, you know, yeah, 4 to 6 years, I can definitely see myself getting married.
So 6, 8, 10, her face, man, oof.
Did he said get married and that sort of thing? Like the sort of stuff like marriage.
Sort of thing. Yeah, stuff. That stuff. You know, like, can I just sleep with you?
Yes! I love you! Can we have sex?
Can you pick me? Yeah. And then I'll travel all over the world and you'll do whatever you do.
Never works.
Anyway.
Never works. Tell me, he's 24, is that correct?
Yes.
She's?
37.
13 years. All right. Ed, you'll be with me on this one.
Yeah.
Some great large distance. So I honestly believe it seems to work older men, younger women.
That was my mum and dad, 13 years age difference.
Righto.
Yeah, but then he died.
Yeah, that's not good news. I'm sorry.
I know
statute of limitations over, but sorry.
I was 11, it's
but
fine.
Think about this one, the Apollo Sophie Monk gap, same as Mark Warren. Remember his old girlfriend Sue, who used to sit in the grandstand?
That's right, but that didn't end up, he's now moved on, hasn't he?
That's right, but he was 21 when he met her, she was 34, they lasted 17 years.
Michael Jordan, very famously Michael Jordan, had a wife that was much older. Oh no, they're not together anymore, but that was a famous one while he was, yeah, but I don't think.
I could throw one at you that has worked.
Which one?
Hugh Jackman.
What are they? They're 12 or 13
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 13. Deborah Lee Furness.
Okay, there you go.
I'll there's lots of rumours around that one, but there you
I'll
go.
I'll give you another one, 17 years together. Mark Webber and that girlfriend of his was
that's
his manager.
Right.
They're
yes.
13 years. He's they're 40, she's 53.
Let's
wow.
do it.
Let's play the game. Older women, younger men. Does it ever, can it ever, will
it
ever?
Is it only famous people?
No.
Work. It does seem... You know, it helps you. Marriage is a great settler and it helps men to kind of get their head in order and makes them, you know, work themselves
Where
out.
Do you so an meet older them, woman though? Makes Are they sense. Teachers or something
well,
or other?
Cougars.
Oh, Macron. You're talking about Macron, old Frenchie.
Yeah.
Because remember, she
That's
was
right.
his drama teacher.
That's right, the president of France.
Yeah, yeah.
The president
she
of France.
She was 13 years older too.
There's the whole issue about babies, which is often traumatic.
Okay. Older women, younger men, can it work?
Okay, Hayden of Yarra Bilba.
How you going, guys?
Good, mate.
What's your story, Hayden? Give us the maths.
Yeah, well, my wife's 40 and I'm 23, mate.
Ah, and where did you meet?
We actually met at the local, believe it or not.
At the local?
God.
So, we've been together for about 4 years and we've got six kids.
Hang on, you met when you were 19. You started going out with her when you were 19.
She was 36. Yep. She must have been pretty she pretty tidy, Hayden.
Oh,
are you allowed to say that?
I know, you're not.
I go more for personality, mate. So.
Yeah,
thank
me too.
You,
I'll
Hayden.
Take that question.
Yeah, so we've got, she had 5 kids when I come along, and we have one between us, and her eldest has had a daughter as well, so.
Oh, my God, you've got 7 kids in the house.
Hang on.
Hayden,
yeah.
Hey, how have you got time to call us, mate? Surely, Jesus, this is amazing.
Oh, that's a great story.
It's very rarely I call up, mate.
Hang on, he's a step-grandfather. At 23.
Yeah. Wow.
That's impressive.
A record. You should get an Order of Australia. Hayden, thanks for the call. He sounded sensible, Hayden. He just sounded like a sensible young man.
Didn't
Good
he?
On you, Hayden. Great work, mate. Here's Amanda from Stafford. Hi, Amanda. What's the story?
Hi. How are you?
Hello, Amanda.
So my mum met her husband now when she was 37 and he was 25.
Wow.
What did they used to call that? Cradle snatching?
No.
So
and?
I think I was 19 at the time.
I was just about to say, how old were you?
Oh,
wow.
Awkward.
How was that, Amanda?
It was a little bit different at first, but they've been together for 12 years now.
And do you, okay, so what's your relationship like with him if he's only 6 years older than you? Do you see him as a father figure? No.
Definitely not, but... he's a good friend. We travel together as a family. So we've got mutual friends that are around the same age as us. And my mum, she's young at heart, so yeah. I don't think that she ever matured past 30 anyway. So we're all just...
What a great story.
See, everyone's happy. Well played, Amanda. Thank you. Let's go Andrew from McDowell. Andrew, what is the age difference between you and your fiancé?
19 years, mate.
19? And how old are you?
How
and
old
how
are
old
you?
Is,
yeah.
I'm 37.
Okay, and she is,
56.
I can't do this, 56. Wow, and how long have you been together?
Been together 9 years, engaged for 1.
Good Lord.
Wowzers.
Yep.
So are you watching The Bachelorette and going, it could work, Apollo?
Oh, no, mate, I don't watch that.
No.
Okay, have you got kids? Do you want kids?
I don't have kids. She's got 4.
And you don't mind that you won't have kids?
No, it doesn't worry me. If I was going to have them, I would have had them by now.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry, that's a very
And it's working
question.
For you, Andrew? It's all good?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, it's going good. Like I said, we're engaged, so...
Congrats,
not
mate.
A bad
that's
thing.
Great. Yeah, excellent. Good
we should
you,
report on these stats to Sophie and tell her it could have worked, love.
Could have.
Yeah. Angie from Arana Hills, the difference in age between you and your partner?
It's now my ex, but it was 10 years. I was 40 and he was 30.
Where did you find him?
I met him through some friends and we got on great and he was really lovely. And then I said one day, I'm really worried I'll be 50 and you'll be 40 and I'll be looking really old and, you know. And he said, that's okay, you can just go and get some plastic surgery and we'll be fine. So I dumped him.
Oh, that'll be the end of him. There you go. Jeez.
Love it.
Thanks. Thank you, everybody.
If your partner ever says I'm not looking that great, never agree with them.
Tom Saunders from the Weather Channel to tell us more about it. Morning, Tommy. Tommy, what are we looking at?
Hey, morning, guys. Well, right. It's one of those days, isn't it? It's warm, it's humid. We've got a northerly airstream across Brisbane, so we've got the right conditions for thunderstorms. What's important about today is something called wind shear. So as you rise up through the atmosphere, the winds will be increasing. So we've got a jet stream aloft right now, and that can lead to supercell thunderstorms. They're the ones that often bring damaging winds, large hail, and torrential rain. So this is what we could be looking at later this afternoon or this evening across Brisbane.
Hold on. Sorry, Tom. Let's just go through it. So you've got, got the jet stream coming across from the west, and then we've got a northeasterly coming in, and that explodes around the Great Dividing Range around Boona, and then there'll be storms coming in. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They're going to develop over the inland initially, and then they'll be travelling towards the coastline, so across the Darling Downs, and then travelling towards Brisbane. Now, with these storm outbreaks, not everywhere gets a storm, and unfortunately, we're just not at the stage yet we can say exactly what suburbs will be hit by them. But there's a pretty good chance late this afternoon, this evening, we'll have some dangerous storms moving east across Brisbane.
Now, Tom, can I ask you, moving forward as we head on into summer, we've had big rain events over the last couple of weeks. Are we likely to have a wet summer or a dry one?
We're actually likely to have a wet summer, which is great news, of course, because most of the state is still in drought. There is borderline La Nina conditions developing across the Pacific Ocean right now. And generally, when we have La Nina conditions, northern and eastern parts of Australia are wetter than normal. This is not a strong La Nina, though. It's only borderline. Yeah. But it does just tip the scale onto the wetter side rather than the dry side.
Tom, my southern oscillation index is on about +8. That's not good, though, for rain, is it?
Yeah,
No. Positive's good.
Positive's
bad.
Good. Righto.
So
that's why it's
been rising.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Tommy Saunders from the Weather Channel. So
Robin, what do you want to talk? Southern Oscillation Index?
I don't not know
I'm impressed that he knows what I'm talking about. This is awesome.
I love
no
it,
idea. Final question. Living
you,
in a
Tom.
Flood-impacted area, when you say the La Nina thing's coming, that's nothing to be worried about long-term, is it?
Look, it's only a week, La Nina. I think for most of Queensland, it's a good news story because we do need to rain.
Okay.
I love you, Tom.
Tommy Saunders from the Weather Channel. No, he does. He genuinely loves you. As we said, 30 degrees. Possible big storms later on. We'll keep you updated throughout the day.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed, and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Marta, you've come in with this is a current affairs special. We are starting something that they are going to definitely pick up on. Take it away.
All right, here's the investigation. My wife works at supermarkets around Brisbane every single day, and she started coming up nearly every day with a parking ticket. She works at supermarkets, not the big ones like Westfields, etc., like standalone ones, whether it's Newmarket, Audley, New Farm she used today, the Coles and Woolworths, okay? She keeps on getting these parking tickets, and there's a big discussion amongst the workers out the back of the supermarkets whether you have to pay these things. This thing, you'll read it there, $77.
It's not a Brisbane City Council.
Not Brisbane City Council. It's the shopping centres. Apparently, they do not tow. No one wants. Everyone's real tow shy at the moment because of those recent towing incidents.
What happened,
No one's towing, but what they're doing, they're issuing these parking tickets if you're there for more than 3 hours. And then going, just threatening you. She's already had a letter from a solicitor going, pay it, cough up your money. Now, Kath had a yarn for the couple of people out the back of the shopping centre yesterday. And one girl said, no, I've got about 12 of them. You don't have to pay them. Just forget about them. They have got no legislative effect. They can't get that money out of you.
They've got no compliance.
And another guy working out the back who's studying law said, yes, you've got to pay that. You're in trouble. So she didn't know what to do. And she just keeps getting them. But now she's parking out on streets. And then, like the Savo, that storm's coming anyway. So that's the issue. Are you supposed to pay that? They own that shopping centre, I guess.
Do you have to pay
what can they do to you?
Private company parking tickets that they, if you, when you go and get a parking, does she have to get a parking ticket when she's there? Like, you know, like,
yeah, that's what
pull
it's
out
saying.
Of a machine?
Yeah, so you can stay for 2 hours or whatever as long right, as you well have that, one of
so
those little
payouts.
She's agreed,
is that a little, she's that a agreed to contract? Their terms. Is that a contract?
Yeah. But who knows? 133353. Maybe you've had some of these private parking fines. You know, if you can remain anonymous, do you have to have you paid them? Have you said, no, nah, get stuffed?
Well, they're saying here, breach notice fees must be paid within 14 days of the issue date to receive a discount. Breach notice fees paid within 30 days of the issue date will avoid further costs.
They're having a go, aren't they? We, and then she's already had one solicitor. She's got about half a dozen of these. She's had one solicitor letter, but that's just a standard thing to rattle
yeah,
you.
Let's not forget that when I worked people. In the video store, we used to send solicitors yes. letters to people that had Dante's exactly. Peak out for 3 weeks too long. Like, I'm pretty sure those
it's
people
similar.
Got off.
It's a similar situation, isn't it?
Private parking fines. Do you have to pay them? Do you not have to pay them? If you're a lawyer, if you're a vagabond, if you're an expert, we need to hear from you.
If they were seriously legit, they'd get you towed.
Andrew, you've got a little bit of expertise yes. in this area. How so, mate? Where do you fit into this puzzle?
Okay, expertise, no. Experience, yes. We have underground parking at our office, and it's the same situation. Big sign saying,
yep.
park where you like, you've got 70 hours, etc. Then they show the fees, which is all fair enough. But the important thing is, one, I don't have legal experience in this. It's an invoice. It's not a fine. They are not allowed to provide you with an infringement notice. Can I also stress the towing? They are not allowed to tow your vehicle.
Oh.
If your vehicle is towed, do not ring that number. Ring the police and say your car has been stolen.
Whoa.
Love you, Andrew.
Removed without your permission.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Thanks, what? Andrew.
That's off private property, but if they do it off, you know, clearways and stuff,
yeah,
they're allowed government. To under government legislation, I guess.
Brian from Caboolture said that it's all covered by the Enclosed Land Acts of 1901. Now,
oh, you can't
I am,
just say that and then run away.
Well, it just says read that? Out. Brian doesn't want to talk, apparently.
What
Brian?
Is that?
I'm here.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
hey,
you are. Hey.
Okay, so tell us, what does the Enclosed Land Act of 1901 mean?
The Enclosed Lands Act of 1901 is an act under common law, which is made by the courts as time goes on.
Okay.
If a property has a clear boundary and it has terms and conditions of entry yeah. that are viewable from the outside or from the front,
yeah.
then you have to abide by those when you go in. And that's why they can do a bag check at a supermarket.
Well, that's
okay. Thanks, Brian.
That's the yep. situation, Brian. But hold on. You're saying in the Enclosed Lands Act, and Kath has shown me, yes, there's a sign at the front of the shopping centre telling her what to expect when they go in. But yeah. why was that in 1901 before cars were invented?
Oh, well, yeah. That's also got to be about, you know, private property and et cetera, et cetera.
But hang on, we're all finding out the legalities. At the end of the day, though, what are they going to do with you? Are they going to then...
Yeah,
yeah,
can
like,
you thumb your nose or not?
Here's Elsa from Chermside. Now, Elsa, you manage a shopping centre car park.
I manage shopping centres, not just the car park.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Elsa. I didn't. That's what it said on
so
my screen.
So what do we have to do? This is you get these tickets. Are they legally binding? Do you have to pay them?
Yeah, they are because it's private property, and the signs that you see when you come in are the basically terms and conditions of parking your vehicle there.
Right.
So if you fail to meet the terms and conditions and exceed your stay,
yeah.
then you can be fined, and the fine is legally binding.
So you could end up in court then, is what you're saying. If this accumulated and
yep.
you could.
Yep.
Well, you know what? There's going to be a lot of backpackers who have abandoned their combis at the airport who are going to be very upset when they hear this spot. Thank you, everybody. Triple M. Marto, Ian Bell, the British batsman, says that Australia's only got four world-class players and that we don't have a wicket-keeper and that we're stuffed for the Ashes.
Oh, gee, that's a bit negative.
We've got a cricket expert coming on in a moment. But what do you got for me?
Hey, the new worst ad on television. Let it loose, big fella.
On this week of Puntmas, what they have to me.
Massive double-header Puntmas Racing Special.
That's the... It's sports bet.
What's he saying? Pumpness?
No.
Puntmas Racing Special.
What?
Puntmas Racing
Puntmas.
Special.
Like Christmas, but he puts the word punt. Oh. It sounds like a swear word all the time.
Puntmas Racing Special.
One more.
Puntmas Racing
Stop
Special.
Stop saying that,
That's
mate.
That's enough.
Yeah. I think that sounded rude.
It's a little bit frisky. That one?
Huntmas Racing Special.
Okay,
That's enough.
No, I didn't think it was rude. What do you think he's saying? I just thought it was annoying.
All right, well, let's
Okay. You know what? No. Well, this is the way I'll do it. It's like when you see the couple on the block. It is, what is her name? There's Elise and whatever his name. There's Sticks and Wombat.
Yeah.
And then there
and there's
is...
Clinton, his missus.
Yes. Now, the missus, when you see the words of Clint and his missus, when you see the word Clint written in capital letters on a sign, it can look a little bit naughty.
Enough. That's enough.
I believe... there's a shortage of a crucial household item.
Yeah, and this is really annoying me because I have been a supporter of this thing my entire life. Others have got off of the bandwagon and got onto other bandwagons, and I have stayed consistent, and now it would seem that we, the people who are consistent to this product, are going to be penalised because, shock, horror, thousands die, we're running out of butter.
We're running out of butter.
We're out of butter. Hang on, that means we're out of...
No, okay, so here's the thing. What? Falls in production are due in part to, this is in today's paper, consumers are trending back towards having full cream over skim.
The fat
that is then skimmed off is used to manufacture butter.
So there's not enough fat anymore.
Yeah, there's not enough fat. Also, shoppers have been steadily switching to butter over margarine for health reasons. Well, duh. You know all those people that thought margarine was the oracle of everything?
Who ever used margarine?
Not me.
But that doesn't still exist, does it?
Yes.
Does it?
It changes its name a lot. Oh. It's often got different names.
Spreadable
called, yeah, it's got
stuff.
Is that margarine?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
flies don't go in margarine. That makes me sus.
What, like in a barbecue if you leave the lid off the margarine?
If you left the margarine thing just out in the open, no fly goes near it.
Well, they're not stupid.
That's not really food.
No, that's not food. I'm with them.
What about not as many dairy farmers? Like there can't be.
And that's the third reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's just not enough milk production and it's dropped by about 7% in the last year. See, we all knew it was going to happen when we weren't taking care of our dairy farmers.
Yeah. Are they still dairy farms and that milk is going to China and stuff? Is that a thing?
They're not saying that. I think actually, honestly, I think dairy farmers are just going out of business. I think there are families that have just struggled so
long.
What
a terrible life it is, though. You think about it. Oh, it's 4:30. Oh, do you go milk the cows? And then you just hang around all day until 4:30 in the hour. Oh, got to milk the cows again. And you can't have, I've got a hangover, can't milk the cows. You can't do that.
No, because then, their teats explode and
14 times a week you have to milk bloody cows.
Yeah, I know.
No fun.
But maybe what'll change all this is this butter thing. So it means that, think about how that's going to impact the world. Mm. You can no longer have cupcakes for kids' birthdays.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. This is what they're saying. They're going
to
have a lot of the baked goods. Baked goods are on the way out.
So does that mean, so everything I go at the bakery, so let's say I walk into my bakery, you got the pies in front, on the left I've got all the cakes and stuff, on the right I've got sandwiches, everything there has butter in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, pies do. I hadn't thought about that.
All the cakes are going to be in one of those locked cabinets that you have to come in. If you really want one, you got to put a deposit down. Marto, bit of stuff going on at the moment in and around Brisbane.
Well, remember earlier this morning we were talking about those when cars do donuts with coloured smoke.
Yeah, but they're only allowed to be for professional people.
That's right. Well, one mob who sell the coloured tyres will only do it if you're a professional burnouter. And we're sort of thinking it was an amateur activity in industrial estates. It's legal. It's illegal, so be careful.
Yeah,
but
so to prove you're a bogan.
This Saturday night, burnout cars, drift cars. At Kingston Park Raceway.
Ah, there you go. There's 20th birthday.
20th birthday celebrations, Halloween party. What else have they got there? It's this sound.
Fireworks, Monster Energy Drink Truck Show, the Halloween dress up parade, food vans, that's my thing, market stalls. Kingston Park.
Free go karts for kids 5 to 9.
That's fantastic.
Can you dress up a car? Forget dressing up as a human. You could
as a car.
No, you could dress a car. So each car is dressed up.
They might be going to do that.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, best Halloween dress awards too.
Okay.
So it's a great and hell of a night out. Kingston Park.
Trying to think who I'd go as at a drag race. Mm. Who would you go as? What's a Halloween style drag race? You know what I mean? Like you need to sort of.
Is that what you mean?
Caitlin.
Is that drag? No, that's
not.
Showing people my aerials.
Where's Brendo when you need a yellow card?
Show us your aerial.
God, stop.
He doesn't know where the yellow
card
is.
Can't do that. We've got to get out. We do need to jump out. The quick predictions. Who does Soph pick tonight?
I would go Stu.
Mato?
Yeah, I'll go Stu.
Hey, what do you think, Ed?
Oh, I think she picked Stu about 9 months ago and they built a fake TV show around it.
I think she might go Winks.
right off into the sunset. A topo Winks. Anyway, that'll be a wonderful end of the series. We're back for a Friday tomorrow. We've got your Friday fun one. We're going to get your votes for that one. Still got the $1,000 pressure test. Don't forget, you got the Luke Bradnam Show with Dobbo and Libby, your local drive home this afternoon. Catch you soon.